Welcome to On Tap with Corey and Ira, where they discuss Southern Minnesota breweries and beer. Here's your host, Corey Butler and Ira Carlson.
Hello and welcome to episode number 33 of On Tap with Corey and Ira. I am Corey Butler.
And I'm Ira Carlson.
And we are your bi-weekly show that explores Southern Minnesota breweries and beer, both on local radio here in Northfield area on 95.1 The One FM and 1080 KYMN Radio. We're also online at ontapnorfield.com or on podcast platforms like iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Player FM, whatever your preference is. We're probably there. I think they all kind of link together anyway. So wherever you want to find us, you can find us. You can find all our previous shows on there. But today, episode number 33 is a great show. We've got a wonderful show coming up. Ira, what's so wonderful about it?
No, we had a lot of fun. We went up and recorded in-house at Angry Inch Brewing up in Lakeville, talked to John for a little while, caught up with him a little bit and see how they're doing. A couple of the fun beers they got coming out and stuff, so that was a fun little check-in. We got, of course, another Style of the Week coming up and a lot of fun beers to talk about today.
And if you have the benefit of listening to this online, you've already seen Angry Inch is our guest, and it's called Angry Inch Returns because they're a two-time guest now. And if you're listening to us live, hey, thanks. We appreciate it. They're our second-time guests, so that's kind of fun. We're getting back around. We've been around long enough. We're senior enough in this that we are having some guests back to catch up down the road, see what they're doing, how they've grown in that time since we talked to them, because most of these places are pretty new. When we first talked to them, they're either just opening or probably within a year or two, outside of like Summit and Shells, of course, when we had them on. So it's kind of cool to catch up and see how things have kind of morphed in what their businesses are, what their beer styles are, what the reaction to their beer is. So it's a fun conversation with John, so we appreciate him hosting us as always. It's not like we haven't seen him in the last 7 months. We've been there a time or two, so John treats us well. So thanks, John. But speaking of experiences, we also both got to go to a couple different places here recently. What do your journeys look like, Ira?
Well, we had a little bit of fun. We were down picking up my daughter from college in Mankato, so we got done early with the first load. You know, and of course, only a freshman. We had two carloads, or two trips down there to load everything up. So we went down 1 week early and picked up the first load.
I have to interject because it reminds me of my time in Mankato. And I had a 32-inch TV, one of the old standard TVs, which weighed about 60 pounds back then. And I had an 88 Nova. Now, for those who aren't car snobs, Novas went to four cylinders at some point. I had a four cylinder Nova, not one of the badass ones from the 70s. That thing barely fit through the passenger door to fit into my front seat. And now looking back, that car probably weighed 1,200 pounds. The TV probably weighed 60 pounds. I weighed more than 60 pounds, less than 1,200 pounds. But good Lord, was that dangerous for me to drive down 35 with a giant ass TV next to me in basically a tin can. You know, it's basically a tuna can. So I digress, but I always think about going home and that wasn't just at the end of the year. I'd go home for winter break for a month. I'm like, well, yeah, I got to bring my TV back. I gotta watch TV and play games on something, right?
Yeah.
Well, so good for you getting through year one.
Well, and again, we were only going down ourselves to pick up the first load. She wasn't obviously coming home, so we didn't have to bring another load down. So went down early and did that, and then talked to the wife. We had nothing else going on for the day, so we had the dog with us, and we decided to head a little farther south. I actually Facebook messaged Wasanity Brewing in Medelia and asked if they were dog friendly. They said they were. So they have obviously just opened up about a month or so ago and headed down there and had a really couple fun beers there. And they were definitely very dog friendly. I think every person that worked there and everyone else came up to say hi to our dog Matilda as we hung out there and had a couple beers. But they had six beers on tap. And again, since we were only going to be there for a short period, I'm with you. I don't normally buy the flights, but in this case, we bought a flight because
May not be back.
Yeah, well,
that's the only exception for me is if you're in Delaware, as you've been, or no, I'm sorry, if you're in Maryland, like you've been, and you've got limited time, maybe do the flight, just try different beers. But if you know you'll be back, and if they have half pours, that's okay. I'm okay with half pours, but do the pint. The other thing is it kills conversation. Spend your whole time on your phone checking in beers. Flights are a bad idea, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, but in this case, I will be back at some point. I just don't know when, but it was fun to stop down there.
It's not that far.
Yeah. And then after that, we got done and my wife's like, well, you talked about that place up in New Ulm, that Star Keller. I'm like, oh, yeah. So all right. So yeah, we turned around.
Did you play all coy? Like, oh yeah, I did talk about that one time, right?
Well, you know, I might have talked about that tap room once or twice about being probably one of the most beautiful tap rooms I've seen. So anyways, we went down there and we end up getting a flight. Again, I know we talked about flights, but in this case, it's well worth it. They have 12 different sours on tap. And my wife is not a sour person. And so we were going to take basically the whole breadth of their sours and really try everything. And she really started to understand the difference between the, you know, what we normally see in a lot of places, a kettle sour or whatever else, to what they're doing at the Star Killer. And we had a great chance to just sit down there and try all 12. And we split the flight. And so we would sit there and go, oh, well, what about this one? We'd try it and talk about it and everything else. And then the...
It's truly an education.
Yeah, it was very educational. We got to sit right at the bar, you know, right in front of the taps.
Beautiful bar.
And so the bartendress there was great talking to us about everything. And so we had a really, really nice visit and stuff. So
it's an experience, though.
Oh, yeah. That's a place that's a destination. I mean, if it was right in my backyard, I'd still go there as a regular. But that is, if you're a beer drinker, that's a destination to go because you should try that style and you know, see everything that they have there. They don't sell any of the bottles to go from there, so you have to go to the local liquor store to get anything that you want. But it is well worth the visit. And we had been down there. It was one of my favorite interviews when we did our little road trip. And it was just as good this time around, so well worth it. Then our way back, we stopped and visited John at Ward House in Waseca and checked in with him. And he, of course, whipped out the guitar and played a little bit of music while we were chatting with everyone.
Closing time at 12:30 in the afternoon.
I think we caught him at about 10:30, 11 or whatever, but it was still a nice visit there. So it was a fun day out and got a chance to go try a couple different places and take my wife to a couple of people we've talked to and that we hadn't been to yet. So it was fun.
It was almost like you're a local celebrity. Everyone knew you, right?
Well, they didn't know
me. Are you that? Is it?
I might have name dropped to the Star Killer about Jace, but you know that was about it. So,
are you that Isaac guy in that beer show out of Dundas?
No, I'm Isaac from the Love Boat. You know?
Oh, there! Wow! Dating yourself there a little bit. Love Boat. Was that the Vikings reference again? We got another Vikings reference.
Maybe that's what it was.
My adventures weren't as fruitful as yours, maybe, but I did get a chance to go visit Spiro Brewing their second week, and you obviously got there for their media event, which sounded like it was a great time. I stopped in kind of early on Saturday. It was the day of apparently a town-wide music festival where all these different venues had so many musicians, and a buddy of mine, Christopher, and I made it there just before then, so it wasn't too busy. Had a flight, even though I said I'm anti-flight, but you know, you want to dabble, and had a really good time. Beautiful space, kind of cool to see all the brewing equipment right there. Bar is fun. And the beer was solid all around. You know, they had six beers on. And I think, did you say you had four or did you have all six?
No, I think I'd only had four because, it was a press day. They were giving us whatever we wanted to try and stuff. But at the same time, I still had to, you know, get going and stuff. But I tried a little bit. I liked their Kolsch and a couple of their other beers.
I thought it was all solid all around. So I'm excited for what they can do. I've talked about on the show many, many times when breweries open, there's that spectrum, right? There's some that are need some work, some that start off, wow, that was pretty good. But the hope is, of course, that they all improve. And I think Spiral's starting off in a pretty good spot. So I have high hopes for what they're going to do over there, the team of five that they have. So
yeah, well, I dropped the – I've been spending a little too much extra time working on my daughter's car, and she lives up in Cottage Grove. So she goes right – literally by the brewery on her way down to visit
us. Drop the car?
Well, no, but I was I've suggested to her for all my time and work on her car that at least she should come with a growler from a Spiral on her way by. So we'll see if that works out or not. But I've dropped the hint. We'll see if it happens.
And we're currently in negotiations to get them on the show. Maybe negotiations is not quite the right word, but figuring out how to get them on the show here this summer, maybe a little bit later in the summer, because obviously they're in southern Minnesota, south of the river. We want to highlight them and actually get them on the show. We've been talking about them for probably a year, and we're excited for them to actually be open now, and obviously want to have them on the show so we can highlight all their beer and invite the team in and kind of talk about what's going on there. This past weekend, or I guess last weekend now, I got over to Turtles Bar and Grill to visit one of our supporters of the show, which support the show today, Turtles Bar and Grill, so thanks to those guys. Had a really good lunch with the family, tried some beers. It's nice because they've got such an extensive craft beer list that because I'm prone to go to breweries now versus craft bars, which I think a lot of people are really gravitating toward, you miss out on the variety of beers, not necessarily styles, but just from breweries, obviously, because, you know, Imminent Brewing is not going to serve Tanzenwald beer, and Tanzenwald's not going to serve Chapel here locally. It's just the way it works. Those are laws, right? So it's nice to go there and be like, oh, wow, there's 15, 20 different breweries I could try. So I tried a couple different beers, and it was cool because they're places I wouldn't normally get to just because they're in the cities, or I think I had one that was out of state. largely Minnesota breweries, though, so that's kind of cool. So thanks to Brian, as always, for supporting the show. Didn't have a chance, I was hoping, even though they're right next door, but, you know, when you have two young kids and you've got park commitments and playground commitments, didn't head over to Shakopee Brew Hall. We will get there, though, here in about a month's time. We're going to be up there recording for their big event here in early June, so look forward to getting back there and enjoying some beer. My schedule wasn't as exciting as yours, but you know, I make do.
Oh, we all get around where we can and stuff, so it's just fun. One of these days we'll actually maybe get out together, but you know, it's the timing of it all. So,
well, we record the show every week, so it's not like we're not with time together.
Yeah,
we make time together.
It's special.
It's special. Well, you are an Angry Inch, so. And speaking of Angry Inch, that's coming up right here in a couple minutes. Stick around.
And now it's time for Beers of the Week, brought to us by Firehouse Liquor of Dundas. Our first offering is from Uinta Brewing. It's their Detour Double IPA. So those of you in Northfield right now, all the detours going on, well placed advertising
beer ever.
Yeah, but maybe not for navigating them, because this is coming in at a nice, strong 9.5 ABV. So it's a really big, heavy beer here.
Hence the name Double, right?
Yeah, but that's almost a... That's getting up there almost to the point. They can be triple.
Yeah, you know, it's more of 11%.
Yeah, but definitely very tasty. A little bit of carameliness to this. Got a little distracted there. We get another sip of it.
Well, I was trying to fill time for you so you could enjoy it.
Yeah, no, it's very nice. The hoppiness is almost, I almost pick up a pine, but not really. It's a kind of just a light flavor in there. Really a good tasty beer coming out of Salt Lake City. Again, a city that I would not expect a really good beer from, but you know, I'm definitely enjoying this one. Yeah, they have a little hops and malt and body and color scale, and it's high in the hops, pretty high in the malt. Body is on the full side, and color is about in the middle. So, and as they put it, goes well with anywhere within moderation, I would assume.
Well, and they got a compass kind of circling the top of the can. I don't know if you saw that. But.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, Uinta is kind of a growing brewery. They've been around for a while, and we've had their beer before for this segment. So Salt Lake City, kind of a little destination for beer. The pininess that you taste it, that's what I'm definitely picking up. So that's coming from the hops. It's a very appropriate hop for a beer like this, and I like it. Pretty tasty. One thing we noted before, I'm going to note again when we had them on the show before, is they're brewed with renewable power, which I think is cool, wind and solar. So hats off to them. Probably a lot of wind blowing through Utah, so probably works well for them. But I like it. I like the piney hop flavor, you know, maybe as close as to a tropical flavor I like, you know, in terms of staggering my preferences, but I get a little fruit in there too. I don't know, some essence of tropical fruit, maybe guava or something like that.
Yeah, it's a big, bold flavor. There's still, you could definitely feel the heat, but not maybe to the 9.5%. So it's hidden a little bit in there, but
that's pretty easy drinking.
Yeah, it's a pretty big beer though.
Our other offering this week is from a brewery I have not yet heard of until today. It's Firestone Walker Brewing Company, and this is their Union Jack IPA. It's, again, not a company I've heard of. It's a pretty standard IPA, though, and I mean that in a positive way. And I say that because a lot of IPAs today are all about being bigger, bolder, having different adjuncts in there, different fruits, doing the milkshake IPAs, having some suspension in there, so your Northeast-style IPAs. This is, I would say, what a traditional IPA, at least for me, is like. It's a pretty well-rounded beer. You get a good malt presence in there. The hop is definitely there, but it's well-balanced. And this probably, in today's world of palates, may not be a beer people seek right away just because of where the trends are. But I think it's a pretty solid IPA, a traditional IPA.
I can see this beer definitely being one that if you were in that area, I bet this is on tap and it's a go-to beer.
And the area, we should note, is California.
It's correct, yeah. Paso Robles?
Well, if you're going to say the first word with a Spanish dialect, you got to do the second word. Paso Robles.
Okay. Well, or then it would be Peso Robles.
No, it's Paso. Right. Anyway. Peso would be P-E. We're leaving all this in there.
Yeah. All right. Anyways, no, this is a really good beer. I can definitely see this one being on tap. I kind of put it, like you said, it's just a good generic IPA. And again, generic's not a bad term in this way. This is,
we have a limited lexicon when it comes to describing beer. So
no, but I mean, I think of this as like the, you know, the Summit EPA that's been a consistent beer on tap in Minnesota for a very long time. You know, even like a Surly I think this is probably one of those kinds of beers in that location, and it's just they're finally expanding and getting out there, so definitely a good beer.
Yeah, and we noted, you noted, I should say, in the last beer that 9.5%, maybe pushing triple territory. This is, comes in at 7%, so this is nearing double territory, so it's a big beer that you should be aware of.
Yeah, both these beers are a lot of fun. If you want to try either one of them or any of the other beers we've talked about on previous shows, you can find them conveniently located at Firehouse Liquor, south on Highway 3 in Dundas.
Look for the fire truck.
We're now coming live, actually recording live, recording on site. It's better way to put it. From beautiful downtown Lakeville, Angry Ridge Brewing. We're here with John Erickson, owner and brewer of Angry Ridge. How's it going, John?
It's going fantastic. How's yourself?
I'm doing well. I appreciate you having us out. You visited us in studio in Northfield back in September of 2017. Now it's May of 2018, 7 months down the road. I'm happy to come visit you and say hi and catch up with what's going on.
Absolutely. Happy to be back on the show and happy to have you guys down here.
Yeah, you are our second guest who's been on for a second time, so I must not piss you off. And you invite us in your own home, so I appreciate that.
It takes a lot to do that.
Well, we'll keep working at it. Don't worry. I'll greet you eventually. I know you've got a busy summer. We want to talk about what's coming on. I want to talk a little bit about what's been happening since September. Obviously, winter is always a fun time for breweries, doing a lot of different things. But when the sun comes out in this year, May, not so much April or March, it really gets exciting. We've got a lot of good stuff coming up in the summer. But let's look back real quick. Just the last 7 months, I mean, did some fun things with barrel age programs. You had some other darker, deeper beers come back. Give me a quick recap of the last 7 months, which is easy off the top of your head.
Oh, yeah, right off the top of my head, last 7 months. Well, we had our first barrel...
I'm sorry, you're out of time.
Oh, actually. we had our first barrel-aged beer that came out last year. I can't remember the exact date. I know it was around August or September, so I'm not sure if it had come out yet or if we were just talking about it coming out. And that was our Backwoods Brown, which is an imperial brown ale that we make. And I aged that for almost 6 months in a bourbon barrel. And I really just fell in love with that. I fell in love with barrel aging beers. It was the first barrel aged beer I'd ever tried making myself, you know, on the homebrew level. And just fell in love with the process and the unique creativity that you can do with that, the added depth of flavor, the extra layers of flavor that you can really get from aging in a barrel, from the oak, and the flavors of the cooler that was aged in there. So I decided I wanted to push forward and try some other different things. We do a Resolution Ale, which is our Imperial Saison that we make along with Sauvignon Blanc, so it's kind of a beer wine hybrid. And I took 59 gallons of that and aged that in a Chardonnay oak barrel for a little over 5 months. And had our bottle release of that a couple weeks ago. Got a couple bottles of that left, but it's going pretty fast. So I shared one of those bottles with you guys. And hope you guys like it.
Yeah, it's okay. No, it's great. So you brewed this at the same time in the fall as the or just after the Backwoods, because I guess it's been aging for a while.
Yep.
So you brewed this in the fall, led it through the winter, released here back in April. Is that right? Or late March, maybe?
I want to say it was late March.
Tell us a little bit more about this beer, because we are sitting on it. It smells great, just falls out of the glass, and then it tastes great. And we were talking about this before the show, and my question was, is there apprehension from a beer drinker to see something that's aged and they want to wear it? This tastes Chardonnay. You said selling just as well as the Backwoods did. Obviously, things kind of pick up right away when there's releases, and maybe taper off a little bit. Did you hear any apprehension from people? Like, tell me about this beer. You said a beer wine hybrid.
You know, not a ton of apprehension. You know, I think that the general consumer, as far as craft beer, kind of understands the creativity behind the minds of a lot of the brewers that are out there and us trying to push the limits and see what we can do and where we can expand and where we can move the industry to. You know, from rum barrels to whiskey barrels to, I haven't seen anyone do a vodka barrel, but I'm not sure I've ever heard of a barrel-aged vodka either.
Seen tequila.
Tequila, cider.
No interest.
I actually really want to do that. But it was just, you know, trying something new, trying something different. And because, you know, we fermented with Sauvignon Blanc, I thought that a wine barrel would be the next appropriate way to go with it. We did a small test of it for New Year's Eve 2016, going into 2017. We tapped a firkin over here, took some oak spirals, put them in a firkin, along with the standard beer itself. And I soaked the oak spirals for a week in a Chardonnay that I made at home. Just to kind of give it that extra flavor and depth to kind of test out what it would be like on a Chardonnay barrel-aged. And everybody loved it. We flew through that firkin and decided, okay, I need to get myself a large barrel of this. And so we went with a French oak Chardonnay barrel. It got used by a California vineyard and came to Minnesota to get filled with beer.
Yeah, you can really get that, you know, as a Chardonnay when it comes to
absolutely.
It melts together really well. It's a sneaky, easy drinking beer. 9%.
It is. It's a little bit dangerous at 9%. Yeah.
You probably said that about a couple of years.
You know, our motto is angry beer for happy people. And I do find that I've got a bit of a knack for making high alcohol beers that don't taste quite as boozy as they are.
Well, I'm actually tasting a little bit of heat on this one, you know, because it does come through at the end. But yes, this is very wonderful beer here. My wife would love this one.
So other than creativity, what motivated you to try something with the Chardonnay barrel? For, I think for the casual consumer who's probably listening to the show, it seems like it's completely out of left field. Not completely a new idea.
Well, for me, and just going into my love of wines as well, you know, I always enjoyed the oaky Chardonnays. So even when I was making the Chardonnays at home, I would always add extra oak to them, more than what the kids came with. And so the idea of that, the idea of getting the oakiness in Chardonnay, you know, they don't really do any that I know of, any Sauvignon Blanc barrel-aged wines. So I didn't feel like I was going to be able to get my hands on one of those. The Chardonnay ones are a little bit more easily acceptable, easily found and able to be used. So it's kind of, you know, what's available, what do I know, and what do I think is going to work well with it.
So you opened in July 2016.
Correct.
So you were year two when you started your first year in barrels, maybe at the end of the first year. Does hitting year two allow you to challenge yourself a little bit more? You have a little confidence behind what you're doing. You're used to the system, hopefully, by then. And allows you to kind of embrace that creativity, kind of stretch yourself in terms of styles.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I find that I'm much more willing to, you know, try a new style, try a new beer, instead of trying to do something on a small scale to test it out. Just go ahead, you know, pull the trigger, try something new and exciting. And, you know, it doesn't always work out, but you know, that's experimentation. That's just more about progress.
Keep moving forward.
Yep, exactly.
So we got the two beers here. And the winter, did you do anything special for winter? I know winter's, again, just a time for people to really kind of cuddle into a nice warm spot and try some big beers.
We had a wonderful snowball fight with Lakeville Brewing Company.
Okay.
So we were on. Angry Inch definitely won that one. I challenged.
We have a hype advantage.
I wasn't even part of it. So my staff and all of our customers in here cleared out the entire tap room and went over and attacked.
Was this in April when we had the snowball?
Yeah, exactly. No, it was February 24th because it was the day of the Winter Beer Dap.
And you can find video of it on Facebook.
You can. You absolutely can. With background music and everything. I challenged Don, the owner of Lakeville Brewing Company, to a snowball fight when we were on the beer show on ESPN's radio. Gosh, probably a year and a half back. And ended up just having a terrible winter that year. We didn't have any good snow for it. Came this year, and we had the pretty good snowfalls coming down. And Glenn, one of the other owners over in LBC, decided he was going to start the snowball fight at the Winter Dabbler this year at the fairgrounds. And he built up a nice big snowball and came over to our stand, threw it at what he thought was me, which was not me, which then proceeded to start a bunch more snowballs thrown as well.
Like a snowball fight.
Started a snowball fight going on there. It was a terrible snowstorm that evening, not quite as bad as the one we had a couple weeks ago. But I ended up not even making it home afterwards, not making it back down to the brewery afterwards and heading home, just because the roads were so terrible. And so Brad, one of the managers and bartenders over at LBC, came over and had a beer and threw a snowball at my general manager and wife and hit the doors to the patio, which then caused my general manager, Snay, my wife, and I believe Robin, who was also one of our bartenders at the time, got the entire crowd that was in here, about 20, 25 people, together. Everybody cleared out, went over there, and just started attacking them with snowballs. It was probably about 20 or 25 people to four or five from LBC. Most of their customers and their staff were hiding in the back and didn't want to participate in it. So I feel like it's a good sense. Yeah.
Well, at least you guys are memorable, because throwing a snowball at an unexpected person is not usually a good thing to do.
Well, at least it was during a snowstorm where everyone's got it. Generally, the people that were out are the people that want to be out in a snowstorm.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, for my wife and I, anytime there's a snowstorm, we basically walk downtown with you know, snow pants on and everything else to go find out who's open, and whoever's open is where we end up. So
as we sip this delicious beer, I want to talk about the other two big, I think two, barrel-aged beers. And we're bottling releases coming out here. One for Father's Day, one for your anniversary.
Yep. So we've got a beer that I've made before. It's called Papa's Secret Stash. It's a cold-pressed coffee infused with Bureau Porter. Comes in right around 10% alcohol. So a little bit heavier than this one. So I want to say it was a little bit heavier than...
Just a tad.
A little bit heavier than the brown one. The brown, if I remember correctly, came in at 9.5%. And I think this one was 10.5%. But it's a beer that I brew with my dad every year on his birthday. So that's why we call it Papa Secret Stash. He's a big coffee head. He loves drinking, you know, fresh local coffee. And so we blended some cold press coffee that we made from Cameron's coffee over Chalkbeat into the batch, and people just loved it. So I took 53 gallons of that, put it in the bourbon barrel, and but that's it for. It's been going on about 15 months now. And so we're planning on doing a bottle release on that for Father's Day this year. It's kind of a thank you to my dad for everything that he's done.
Wow, sounds pretty good to me. What's that day? Is like
June 17th, something around there.
Look at a calendar.
We can look that up.
We can't look it up right now. We're busy talking. You're listening. Look at a calendar. You'll figure it out.
Follow us on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. We'll definitely do a release date when we get a bottle.
That's a good one. You've got another one come up for 2-year anniversary.
For 2-year anniversary, yeah, end of July. July 29th will be our 2-year anniversary here in downtown Lakeville. Took one of my favorite beers that I've brewed since we opened, which is our White Rabbit, which is an Imperial Vanilla Porter. A little bit lighter.
Another small beer.
8% alcohol. And for our 2-year anniversary, I said I wanted to age it 2 different ways. And so I've got a bourbon barrel full of it, and I've got a rye whiskey barrel full of it. And tasting it so far as it's going, it's been in there for coming on 6 months almost. I really expected to like the bourbon barrel one more, because I didn't know what the rye was going to do to it. And it slipped on me. I loved the one coming out of the rye barrel.
What was the reason behind going with those two styles? Is it just availability with your hands on, or are those what you thought it was? Pair well with them.
Availability and then flexibility. I was planning on doing the White Rabbit in the bourbon barrel the entire time. The rye barrel was going to be for a Belgian barley wine that I was going to brew. It ended up not turning out. And so I had an open barrel and decided I wanted to fill it.
Oh, yeah.
We did a cookie share party, and then we also did a potluck party at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And the facial hair and hot dish competition.
Yeah. All those things.
All those things. Yeah, I should really write notes down.
See, those are all your winter events.
Those are all our winter events, yeah.
So in that idea of looking back 7 months, obviously a lot's been going on, seasonal changes and stuff like that. But what have you learned about yourself and what you're doing here at Anchorage? Year one's just chase, I'm assuming, but maybe you had time to slow down a bit and kind of embrace what you've got going on.
You know, I always thought that after year one, you'd definitely be able to slow down, take a breath a little bit, but it really isn't the case, especially with all the breweries that have popped up in Minnesota. It's always, what can you do to be ahead of the game? What can you do to be ahead of the schedule? How can you be new and innovative with beers as well as events? And we're trying to find ways to partner with a lot of different businesses down here and promote downtown Lakeville, just because a lot of people don't even know that there is a downtown Lakeville. But we work with different companies and just finding different ways to draw people into the tap. A couple things that we did was we partnered with the Lakeville Barbershop down here. And we did a hot dish and facial hair competition. Not together.
That was at the same time.
They were separate. Well, it was held at the same time. But there was no hot dish in the facial hair. There was no facial hair in the hot dish. But that drew a great crowd. We had, I want to say 20, 30 guys that came down here to have their mustaches and beards and facial hair judged. Had some actual judges, some national judges that showed up for it. Didn't have a ton of hot dishes that showed up. I want to say there were 5 or 6 that got judged. 9. I'm being told there were 9 hot dishes that got judged. None of them were vegetarian. So, me being the vegetarian that I am, I was really excited to try some vegetarian hot dishes. We did 3 different categories for them. We did a traditional hot dish, we did a modern hot dish, and then a vegetarian hot dish. And not a single vegetarian hot dish.
What's a modern hot dish?
Something that's not your traditional green bean casserole or teriyaki
chicken or something.
Sure. Yeah, throw your modern spin, something that's, something that your grandma went to know.
Really took me by surprise. Why are we talking about my grandma?
Well, I'm just kind of wondering, like, where do you go with that in the sense of, taking a step further, pairing food with somebody's hot dish? And
That can be challenging, but there's always a lot of fun things you can do with food pairings. And one of the places, one of the things that we like to do is pair desserts with food with beer pairings. And I've always thought that some good chocolate, some good caramel, some good shortbread cookies go great with some different beers if you can pair the properties correctly. The Sloan Kisses that we make was a take on the Girl Scout cookie, the caramel delight, and a cup of coffee that I was drinking many years ago and decided I wanted to make a beer out of that. So to kind of take off of that, for Christmas time, we did a cookie share program down here. So people were able to bake cookies at home, bring them in, share the cookies with everybody. And we had a great turnout for that. We had an absolute huge table full of cookies, which was way too many cookies. And people did not care to take as many home as they should have taken home. So I was forced to eat all of them.
And you're still dealing with that weight.
It's summertime now, so I got to start getting some of that cookie weight off. But
it's got to replace some beer weight. Research that.
And it's fun to be able to do things that you can make, certainly something we do in Minnesota that they might not do in other states. We actually got to write up in the Star Tribune for doing a potluck party for the Super Bowl. It's not a Sunday, and we're not allowed to have food trucks on Sunday, so we thought, what can we do to drive people down here to get them outside of their houses? Want to come watch the game here, have a couple beers? And so we did a potluck party, and the Star Tribune literally said, what can you imagine being more Minnesota than a potluck party at a brewery watching the Super Bowl?
All right, let's back up. Where is it written that you can't have a food truck on a Sunday? Is this? I might not be aware of this rule.
That's a city ordinance in the city.
Okay.
That is getting changed, hopefully at the next city council meeting, hopefully even by the time this airs. We've gone to bat for the food trucks in Minnesota trying to get that changed, get some of that loosened up so we can get more food trucks down.
Because that would seem like the second or third best state to have a food truck.
Yes.
If not the first in some cases. Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, that seems like a blue law, you can't sell cars or have a food truck.
Well, there's local ordinances that sometimes are override state law. It just takes a little effort to get it changed.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. There's lots of laws on the books that people aren't even aware of that are there. Yeah. Happen by accident or happen just as happenstance. So kudos to you for working through that. Obviously, it's something you're pretty familiar with at this point, working with the city on letting your dreams come true here.
Yeah, absolutely. And, we seem to be able to convince them that we're here to stay. We plan on being a staple, plan on being a brick in the pillar walls of the city, and we want to be here for a long time and be part of the community. And we give back to the community as often as we can. One of the biggest things that we do is the block bash that's coming up in June. That's a fundraiser for, we're planning on doing a different organization that we raise funds for every single year. Last year we did it, it was the first Saturday in June, and we picked the Lakeville School District. They have a program called Ready, Set, Achieve, and we raised just over $5,000 for that program on that one-day event. This year we've chosen to do it for the Lakeville Public Safety Foundation. So we've got Dave Hudson coming down playing and Soultry headlining, as well as a DJ playing before and after. It's going to be a 21-plus event just right across the street in the parking lot right next to Ace Hardware. And expecting a really good turnout. Even just with the fundraising dollars that we raised from sponsorships from different businesses that want to be involved in it, that they see what Lakeville Brewing Company and us have been able to put together as an event, an ongoing event that we can do every year. We've already raised, $4,000 or $5,000 just in sponsorships that will be going straight to them. It's already covered the cost of the event. It's going to be going straight to the LPSF. And we're hoping to be able to break five figures and raise over $10,000 for them this year.
Now, why would you ruin a perfectly good event and bring Dave Hudson down here?
I'm pretty sure we actually ran into Dave Hudson at the bar last time afterwards. When we had our meeting, we went down to the tavern right across.
There's a good chance.
Yeah, you probably ran into him.
You guys introduced me to him.
Yeah, Dave's a good friend of mine. He actually lives to be awesome.
Oh, nice. So do you hear his music playing all the time?
No, because I wear earplugs. Oh. I have children.
No, and I grew up and I played hockey with him, so, go way back.
Terrible guy. I'm choking.
Okay.
No, he should be able to bring in a few people.
Yeah, he's got a pretty good response. Yeah, we really enjoy what we're able to do with it. We love how everyone, you think of a lot of those music festivals and people get a little bit crazy, and it just doesn't seem to be the way that things happen down here. We have really great call followers, really great people. It's a craft beer crowd. You're not going to get hammered. Getting drunk happens. Mm-hmm. But people go to, enjoy themselves, enjoy the company, enjoy the music that's being played, enjoy the craft that's being put out there.
Speaking of craft beer, we're sipping on something new here. Why don't you walk us through this?
Yeah, so this next beer that we've got for you is called the Lonely Monk. So our Lonely Monk is a Belgian single. I call it a Trappist-style Belgian single. We can't call it a Trappist single because the only monks who are brewing in monastic breweries can call it a Trappist beer.
You're not certified yet?
I'm not certified. I'm ordained. I am ordained. I was originally planning on being a pastor.
As am I.
There we go. We got something else in common.
I'm online. I'm sure you're a little more.
No, I was online as well.
All right.
How many weddings have you done?
I've done one.
Nice. I'm up to four, I think.
Mine was free.
Mine was definitely free too.
It's a competition. Anyway, you're a wonderful beer here.
So the Lonely Monk, it's a Belgian single. It was something that popped into my head is I want to do something that's light, a little bit more sessionable, something a bit more of a beer for the masses that isn't your traditional lager or golden ale. Something that has a little bit more of our characteristic in it. Most of our beers we've got pretty well known for making Belgian influenced or Belgian style beers. And so doing a Belgian single was something that I thought would be fun because it's going to be more of a house beer that we can have. It's going to be nice and light, easy drinking, great for summertime, but also have enough flavor and characteristic for the wintertime as well. And being
you hit it.
I think I hit it. I'm pretty happy with it. it's very, very palatable. People who are light beer drinkers seem to love it. People who are weak beer lovers seem to like it. People who are cider drinkers seem to love it. People who are Belgian beer drinkers seem to love it. It's kind of a gateway Belgian beer. A nice, easy way to be able to get you in there and get some of that Belgian characteristic on the back end of it. Nothing that's overpowering. It's going to really hit you in the face.
Yeah, I was surprised when I saw Belgian up there and then didn't see triple.
Well, I mean, I do my triple as well.
And I shouldn't have jumped over this because I don't think we talked about this in the last show. We talked about your career, what do we call it, the mechanical arts, maybe? Or
mechanical arts, is that what we call it?
But I don't think we talked about you entertaining the idea of being a minister.
That was before that. You know, in the Methodist Church that I used to be a part of, and it is still true to this day, you have to get a 4-year degree before you can go to seminary school. Yeah. And so my plan was to get a 4-year degree, and back then it was, I think, aerospace engineering, which eventually turned into biomedical engineering. But I was then planning on going to Perkins down in Texas and getting my seminary degree and becoming a pastor in the Methodist Church. And then I was at Chino Latinos, close to 20 years ago, and I received a fortune cookie. The fortune cookie said, consider a life in the clergy. And how unsuited you are for it. I still have that
sign.
Yeah, I took that as a sign.
You were spoken to.
So I ended up leaving the U, and I went to, not because of the fortune cookie, but I left the U for other reasons and started going to Dunwoody and got my degree as an automotive mechanic and worked at Brinksville Volkswagen for 10 years. Started homebrewing, fell in love with it, and decided I wanted to open up a brewery.
Here we are.
And here I am. Yeah, almost on 2 years.
Very good. One of those events, skipping back to winter, just kind of being around. You guys do trivia. Trivia Mafia has kind of taken over the state.
Absolutely.
There's other trivia folks out there, other places that do trivia. But Trivia Mafia is one that most people are familiar with. Last time you were on the show, we talked about me getting out to one. Hadn't been to one. Finally made the one, I think, back in January. You guys are actually back.
How'd you do?
We tied for the first.
Nice!
I have at Loon Liquor. We've tied for first twice.
I think I've ever done it. It's challenging. It's not really hard, and it's very
your data center.
Yeah. I do well at Chapel, but they do a different theme thing and stuff, but I haven't done the Trivia Mafia yet. But
you had a full house. I met a friend who was in town, and we met here, and we met here at like 4:30, and we're going to be here for an hour, and it was about 9 o'clock, 9:30. So.
Nice.
Trivia started like, we might as well stay at this point, see how we do. Kind of, it was a packed house. We ended up coupling with the two gals next to us. I'd say we contribute a little bit more than they did. But, I hope they aren't regulars. No, I hope they are. Well, I hope they are regulars. But, they're probably not listening to the show, I guess, is my point. No, they were nice. It was great.
No, we get a great turnout. Chris from Trivia Mafia does a fantastic job. We love him. He's got a great personality. He draws in a great crowd. We're always, almost always, a very packed house, pulling out folding tables sometimes for people to sit on, plenty of other chairs, and whatnot for people to use. But my favorite thing about Wednesdays is obviously it's great to see a packed house on Wednesday. But it's just seeing the uniqueness that people bring with food on Wednesday nights. You know, it's still kind of a foreign concept to people to bring food from home or to order from somewhere else and bring it into an establishment. And we had, I think my favorite one I've ever seen on Wednesday was we saw a group of about 8 people in the corner with an electric fondue pot.
Oh, that's
I'm
a good
like,
one.
That is using your noggin.
Wait, I think I was here that night. I'm pretty sure I saw someone over the corner cooking.
Yep.
We actually ordered toppers.
Absolutely, and that's the most popular one to use on Wednesdays. They're the sponsor for the Trivia Mafia.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yep.
Okay. I don't think. Were they? Is that new? I don't think they were.
No, they've been sponsored. They've contributed the third place prize.
Oh, that also.
Yep, the third place prize. That people get out, so people will order their pizza and get the use the redeeming prices on next visits. And it's just you usually see. Oh, I'd say probably at least a dozen pizza boxes out there. People just love them. The top or six and all the new stuff they got out there.
Well, I'd be remiss to not mention the appetizer you have on hand here. You guys have a popcorn machine.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And I feel it's important to point that out because a lot of places do, and I always think it's a nice feature. At the very least, it makes people thirsty for more beer.
It used to be a bit more of a staple, and I feel like it's going a little by the wayside now that some breweries are trying to, partnering with like Von Hansen's and doing the meat sticks and the cheese sticks or, having chips and salsa that they can sell. It's still kind of a learning market. Tap rooms are still very, very new to us here. I was just reminded that the popcorn actually won for a best veggie hot dish for the hot dish and facial hair competition. So nobody brought a vegetarian hot dish. We had one of our regulars who was helping us out making popcorn that night because we were so busy, just slammed, standing room only in there for that event. And so he got the award for vegetarian hot dish with his popcorn making skills.
No, I will point out that you have a great selection, probably the best selection of menus that I've seen in a lot of places, prominently displayed. So if you do come in and you forgot to bring your fondue pot or your casserole dish or whatever you may have, there is a great selection because my wife and I, the last time we were in, we were debating on what it was, and then you had a food truck outside. So we were going back and forth. We had like three menus out, and then all of a sudden, like somebody one of the items went passing by our table, and we changed our mind and went out to the food truck. But great selection of options here. So
yeah. When we talked last time, maybe the Super Bowl was the starting point of that. We talked about maybe a crock pot some days on a regular basis.
Absolutely.
That's still in the works potentially.
That's an idea that we keep tossing around. We want to be doing that. Yeah. We figure, especially, well, now that we have food trucks on Sundays, but we can't get food trucks on Sundays.
Sure.
Being able to have that as an option for people. It's just a fun way to bring people together, try new things, and just commune with friends.
As you see more places for food trucks to go to, the breweries, other places that would require the service of food trucks. Do you see challenges in getting food trucks here, or do you see the relationships changing? Because just as you said, the brewing industry is evolving. Year one, you thought, okay, after year one, they'll go slow down. It's not, because there's more competition for you, but there's more food trucks out there, but more places for those places to be. What have you seen from that scene, from that industry?
From food trucks, absolutely. It's an evolving market, and it's an evolving communication way to have those food trucks talk to the breweries and figure out where can we be, when are we going to be booking everything out. It gets tough to schedule. You don't know what the weather's going to be like this year in wonderful Minnesota. You never know if it's going to be sunny in 70 or snowy in 20. But there are some...
It can be both in the same day.
It can be both in the same day. There are some ways that are improving communication. There's a couple of different Facebook groups. The one that was created that's kind of tied two existing Facebook groups together. It was Minnesota Taproom Managers as well as the Minnesota Food Truck Association. Mm-hmm. And so they decided to have a combined forum for the taproom managers to be able to reach out to food trucks as well as the food trucks to be able to reach out to the taproom managers in order to be able to fill holes and fill slots. And there's obviously things that happen, mechanical breakdowns, and people need to be able to get subs and so you get them out. And obviously on the taproom side, there's times when you overbook. You get two different food trucks in these rooms come down and you find out couple days or a week before, and you can put it out on there, like, hey, we got a food truck, let's find a spot. It's not all that useful to us right here in Lakeville as the current ordinances sit, but once we get things changed, looking forward to being able to walk around here and use that tool to be able to help a lot of food trucks.
So you said current ordinances, is there more than one restriction with the city right now, other than just Sunday?
Yep, other than just Sunday. So right now, it's only allowed to be served on Fridays and Saturdays. You can't park on the street, and so we have to use our little two-car parking spot that our employees usually use to be able to park the truck. And the trucks are fairly large, so it becomes a little cumbersome. They don't have an option for an annual permit. And the biggest issue is that the city is requiring a $2 million insurance policy for food trucks, where every other city in San Jose requires a $1 million policy.
So that limits who's able to come.
Yeah, pretty much if you have a brick-and-mortar restaurant or if you have multiple trucks, you have a $2 million policy. If you don't, you don't. It's why would you? It's twice what every other city requires. So that was the biggest issue that we've had. We've had a lot of food trucks who really want to come down and just can't come down because they can't meet that. And it's not fiscally responsible for them to increase their insurance to just come and serve for one day or 2 days here. But with getting those ordinances changed, being able to park in the street, and being able to get that annual permit so that food trucks come down more frequently, we're hoping to expedite the process and get a lot more down.
Well, good. Kudos to you. So that's a good collaboration. You talked about restaurants in town you've collaborated with, Lakeville you've collaborated with. Is there any collaborations coming up with beer, with Lakeville or anyone else?
I've been
homebrew stuff too.
I've been talking about doing a collaboration this summer with Taylor over at LBC, trying to figure out what we could do, or do something unique and different. I think we're both right now just kind of brewing to the gills as much as we can to keep up with just the consumption point.
It's good.
Doing some fun stuff with the homebrewers, with the local homebrew club down in South Metro Barley Crushers. They did we put on a beer competition, a homebrew competition for the guys who were in that organization. They were able to bring some beers in, and Taylor and Glenn from LBC and I were able to sample them and pick a beer. Each of us were able to pick a beer that we wanted to brew on our system. So, Taylor just released their session IPA called Hot Bundle, and I'm going to be brewing a Scotch Ale coming up here towards the end of summer. Just because Scotch Ales are more of a fall and wintertime beer, I didn't feel like having that coming out in September, August, and it's 90 degrees outside. It'd be a very big hit. But the beer that we have here in front of us actually is kind of another spin-off of one of those. The president of the homebrew club, Ken Wentworth, brought me a bottle, a couple months ago, of a hazy East Coast, a New England IPA. and I don't typically
right in your wheelhouse.
Right in my wheelhouse. I don't typically enjoy that style because it seems like the hop variety of choice to use those is either Mosaic or Citra, which are my two least favorite hops in the world. I just can't.
We're the best ones.
People love them. People absolutely love them, and I'm glad that there's a lot of beers out there for those people to be able to drink and enjoy. But it's not going to be something that I produce. And he brought me this bottle, and I was expecting to not enjoy it, but I, you know, figured I'd critique it and then talk to him about how he could improve his brewing styles. And I opened it up, poured a glass, and before I knew it, the bottle was gone. And I said, "Okay, this is something that I really enjoy. This is something that I like." He had used a unique experimental hop out of Yakima Valley that isn't available for commercial use. For the most part, you know, I had to go online and talk to a couple of different companies that were wholesalers of it to be able to get enough to be able to make one batch of it. And so pretty much bought the entire U.S. out of this hop to be able to make one batch. And we did a special release just yesterday. And Ken was able to invite some friends down. We opened up on a Monday night for him. Had about 40, 50 people in here just enjoying it and loving it. And one of them even texted a restaurant owner, a bar owner, who we've been on tap at a couple times before, Ramsey Ansari, but Ansari's a vegan. And he said he wanted a keg, so we're going to get a keg up to him for it.
You did full batches.
Yep.
Full down the garage. So in this era, so it's not going to be gone 2 weeks.
Yeah, you know, I get the feeling it's going to be gone in 4 weeks or less.
So get here right away.
This will go on in, what, a week and a half?
And I might point out here, I don't know if you've actually said the name of the beer yet.
Oh, I have not. It's called Hobo's Haze. Okay. We went with the name, obviously, because it's a hazy, juicy IPA. So that's the haze part of it. And Ken is the owner of Hobo Incorporated, which is the parent company, Triton, who is our brewery cleaning chemical company. So we get all those of them. So we see them all the time, love them, great, great folks. And so it was even more fun to be able to brew a beer that somebody that I really enjoy and really like, and be able to get something that he had and just see the joy and happiness that he had. And have it commercially.
And I agree with you. I'm not normally, I like a good, you know, Northeast style IPA, but the Citra Mosaic get overused and everything else. This has a really fun flavor to it. It's fruity. It's definitely cloudy. It's a fun beer to try. So when you're listening to this, get over here. Hopefully it's still on tap for you.
Yeah, it's well balanced. It's not going to be in your face with Citra and Mosaic hops. Obviously because they're not in there. It's a pretty balanced hop.
It was really fun hop to be able to use. I'm looking forward to it. You know, they say that they're going to be growing another batch of it next year, so we look forward to hoping to be able to use it again and maybe early 2020.
And on the ABV spectrum of Angry Inch beers, this is pretty moderate.
It's 6.5%. Yeah, that's kind of where I like my IPAs.
Pretty low for an Angry Inch beer. And surprisingly, again, people hear IPAs, they all say, "I was just in high IBU." This doesn't register that high.
No, so the thing with the the East Coast IPAs or New England IPAs, depending on what you want to call it, is that predominantly most of the hops are used at the end of the boil, or in the fermentation or in the bright tank. So it's all pretty much for aroma. And smell is 90% of our taste buds anyways. And so it's very influential into how it tastes. And so getting all those hops just kind of pushed in there through the fermentation process and the oils, kind of mixing with the yeast as they're eating sugars, gives you a really fun, unique characteristics to it. And you just get, I think, you know, to me, I get great pineapple and papaya, a little bit of peach coming in there. But for me, it's mostly pineapple. I get almost like that slightly raw, like green pineapple flavor to it. You know, that spice from the back of it, yeah.
So you're looking at, you were 20 months into your journey as a brewery that's open. You hit a milestone not too long ago. I think 100 is a big number for a lot of people. Triple-digit batches. What was it like? I mean, it was like a celebratory thing, or just another day that you brewed that batch, or is it something special for you? And obviously, you're beyond that.
It was a celebratory batch, yeah. You know, it was actually kind of stressful for me. So I'm like, oh gosh, what am I going to do? I'm screwed up. Gotta do something. I just don't screw it up for sure. That may have been said once or twice.
With clear language.
With very, very, very clear language.
Double hell beers.
But I wanted to do something that was true to our style. And again, we tend to do a lot of Belgian beers. And so I wanted to do something that I hadn't done, something that was a little bit different. And so I picked doing a barley wine. And I decided to do a bit of a Belgian twist on it. So it's got a Belgian barley wine. We're calling it False Penance. I kind of take off our 1 year anniversary beer we did at Belgian Google and call it True Confessions. So people really love, which will be coming back again for our 2 year anniversary. But doing a Belgian barley wine, you know, comes in at a nice light 11.3% alcohol. Nice golden amber color, a little bit of a hop in on the back end, just from the beautiful floral hops that we use on it. Nice and warming, nice and caramel and date and kind of fig notes to it. And also hoping to barrel age some of this.
Well, sure we can be found to talk about that if you ever want to seek us out.
Absolutely.
Sounds like a terrible beer. So. Looking ahead to the summer, what would you have coming up? We talked about the block party. We talked about Block Bash. We talked about the anniversary. We talked about Father's Day. Anything else that people should look forward to here in the latter half of May, into June, July, August, in terms of beers or events that we didn't touch on?
Yeah, absolutely. We got Cinco de Mayo coming up here this weekend, which will be this past weekend.
So we're after that.
So we just came out with our Cerveza del Lago, as this is airing, which is our Mexican lager that I make with like maize and blue agave. It's a big crowd favorite. People really enjoy that one. We've got a new one coming out that we've never done before called Riley's Golden Ale. So it'll be a British Golden Ale. Again, you know, another nice light sessional beer, low fives for ABV. It was a beer that I decided I wanted to make after one of our beer tender, Kevin, had to put down his golden retriever of 15 years. So very sweet, beloved dog. Came in on the patio, loved sitting on the patio.
It's a good stretch for a retriever.
yeah, absolutely. But I told him, I wanted to do a beer that was commemorative of Riley. And so I picked a golden ale because he was a golden retriever. So I brewed that with him. He was able to come in for part of the brew process and see the process and participate. We're going to do it as a fundraiser for a rescue. It's a local rescue. I'm not sure we picked which one we're going to do yet, but we'll do a dollar from every pint of that. We'll go to that rescue to help support. So dogs just find the dogs.
Pretty traditional rescue then?
Yeah.
English?
Yep. Very traditional. Oh, no.
Now it's all.
British Golden Ale. What's kind of fun about British Golden Ale is that typically the gun was American Ox. So yeah. It's very traditional malt base. You know, we get the, I believe it's actually Scottish malt. Hopefully I'm not wrong on that. Scottish malt called Golden Promise, and then an English malt called Maris Otter, which is a pale, English pale ale malt. So we've got those two, and then combined with Warrior and Simcoe hops, just because I love it. And Simcoe is my absolute favorite hop variety that's out there. Just beautiful, wonderful. Floral essence in the back end of it. So it's got a nice, sweet, kind of semi-sweet malty middle to it, with just a floral, beautiful ending, and it's so, so good.
Is that the only one? Speedy still doing
fundraisers? We're not doing speedies on this one, just because we are going to be doing the Riley's Golden Ale. And we're also going to be doing some experimentation with some different homebrewed sodas and mixing them with different beers that we have. Try to come up with some different rattlers that people really enjoy in summertime, and we get that great, wonderful 80, 90 degree days with the sun beating down on us and the 80, 90% humidity. Nothing feels better than a nice, light, sessionable beer going down your throat.
So people can visit you Wednesday through Sunday, correct?
Correct.
And you guys are still doing happy hour?
Yep, Wednesdays and Thursdays, 2 p.m. to 6 p.m., dollar off Pints of Tulips. And if you're courage or ex-military or police or fire, we also do a dollar off Pints of Tulips every day that we're open.
Very cool. So get here on Wednesday about 4 o'clock, have a couple beers, get primed up for trivia.
Absolutely.
Anything else we should talk about before we wrap up here?
I think that sounds about everything I can think of.
Okay, so we've been calling these second episode shows Brewery and Brewery. It's Angry Inch Brewery Returns. So when we have you on for the third time, we'll let you think about what we should call that show.
Oh, right.
The first show is always just the name of the brewery, obviously. And now we're doing Returns. We need to come, I don't know, Strikes Back, I think Ira likes.
Well, I don't know. We can go with this is Angry Foot and the next one's the Angry Yard. I don't know. You know.
That's a Corey joke right there.
Yeah, I know. Sorry.
Well, John, thanks for having us. Appreciate it. Always enjoy stopping in. I think we haven't seen you in 7 months. But,
Absolutely. It was a lot of fun to be on.
See you again.
Absolutely. Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
It's going to put a wrap on this show. Thanks to John from Angry Inch Brewing in Lakeville for hosting us. We had an okay time.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, we have fun with John. Like we've said during the show and earlier in the show, you know, we've been there a time or two, so we're old buddies by now. But it's nice to catch up with him officially for the show and let people know what's going on with Angry Inch Brewing, what they have coming up in the summer. So thanks again, John, for always supporting the show and being nice to us. You know, that goes a long way in today's world. Just be nice to us. We like it. We'll be nice to you, too. We will be back in 2 weeks. That's 11 a.m. on May 26th. Our buddies from Loon Liquor Company here right in Northfield are going to be returning to the show. Yes, we have another repeat guest. We like catching up with people, catching up with what they're doing, how things have been progressing since we've last time on the show. So we're excited to have Mark and Simeon on the show. We're going to go over there and check out with a fermentation friend, as Ira likes to coin it. So We're gonna take a little sabbatical from the beer, right?
I'm definitely looking forward to heading over there. Those guys are great, and I I've coined it, or I've said it a few times, Simeon is a mad scientist, and it's really fun to watch him work, or even just listen to him talk about his work, you know, all the things that he wants to put together. I mean, we've, you know, where this is episode 33, we've talked to a lot of different people, you know, whether it be one guest or three or four guests from every place we've talked to, and two of them have stood out in my mind. One is Simeon, and the other one is Joe Pond from Ivaldi, and it's both because of the fact that they aren't looking at it from a traditional view. They're sitting there thinking about, what can I do to make this different? What do I need to put in this? You know, they're alchemists, they're mad scientists, they're doing some fun stuff. So Simeon's a great guest to have on. Looking forward to talk to him, and of course, finding out what odd concoctions he's put together that taste amazing.
Yeah, Mark and Simeon have been doing a great job over there. My wife and I have been fortunate to go over there a couple times, play trivia a couple of those days when we work out with babysitters, but they make some really good cocktails. They've of course, have really good product, but the cocktails they make in-house at their cocktail room are just second to none. And it's such a treat to have them in town. So excited to have a chance to catch up with them, talk about all their big plans. They've got a lot going on over there, so we want to get people up to date with what's going on there. They're doing some expansion and a lot of cool things. So look forward to that here in 2 weeks. Next week here, if you're listening live on KYMN Radio 95 to 1, Northfield Outdoors will be here. They're going to be in the same time slot, 11 a.m. on Saturday. So check them out. If you want to catch up with us on prior shows, whether you're listening to us live right now or on podcast or on our website, ontapnorfield.com. ontapnorfield.com is the best place to be. You can find all our prior shows. Check out our Facebook page. You can find out our upcoming guests. That's facebook.com/ontapnorfield. Same name on Twitter, ontapnorfield. We post a lot of different things, videos, photos, just updates about what's going on. Same on Instagram. We post a lot of photos there. Search ontap with Corey and Ira. But Ira, you got something that's kind of exciting you over there. I know you want to get to here next week or so. We're working the angle, see if we can get you in.
Yeah, I think it's a little too late. We didn't realize this was happening, but there is, if you are a beer fan, and especially if you're a sour fan, there's an amazing event happening down on May 19th, the Saturday in between our two shows coming up here. You can head down to Starkeller, who I was talking about earlier, and this is an amazing lineup of breweries that are all getting together. Shells, essentially, you know, Starkeller. Foragers, you've got Fair State, Bent, you've just got, there's, oh, I don't know, probably about 20, 25 breweries here.
The real problem is you can't read your phone right now.
Well, no. It's a beer, barbecue, and beats, and so they're going to be having live music, tons of sour beer. So it's a sour beer festival. Yeah. That's all it is, just sour beer festival. And
this
right
is
up,
your grind. This is the place to be. If you're sour curious, this is a good place to explore.
I mean, there's like eight lines of breweries, you know, multiple to a line. And the first line alone, just Starkeller and Forager, that should get you down there anyway.
Got you salivating.
Yeah, but it's, the ticket price comes in at $80, but you get 25 breweries showcasing their barrel-aged sour beers. The ticket includes food, music, tasting glass, unlimited beer samples, and a bottle of the exclusive Funk Junction Peach. I mean, that's a lot of stuff all together. And again, go down there. It is an amazing space down there. The funny part is it's probably going to be held outside, and people are going to be wondering what everyone's doing hanging around a machine shed, getting all excited, but probably one of the more fun things to do. If I can get a hold of a ticket to get down there, that looks like an amazing day of some really good beers and probably some great music and good food. So if you're a beer person, I think this might be the equivalent of going to All Points North if you're a sour person.
Speaking of All Points North, we will talk about that on the next show because they've got the big reveal coming up in June. But we'll talk a little bit more about that in the next episode here in a couple weeks. Until then, we'll see you and talk to you next time. Cheers.